Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Good morning and welcome to the Liverpool.com podcast on the Blood Red channel. I'm James Martin and I'm joined today by Liverpool.com editor Matt Addison. Matt, have you sort of fully got your head around what happened on Sunday yet?
Yeah, it was an enjoyable day, wasn't it? I know you were there as well. You were in the Liverpool end, obviously. I'm sure that was a slightly different experience to obviously me being there as media covering it for us. And it was, I think bizarre is probably the right word for it. It was such an unusual win for Liverpool. The circumstances, obviously, in which that it all unfolded was amazing for, you know, a number of those young players that we're going to come on to and discuss. The fact that Jurgen Klopp was bold enough and brave enough to go for it. I think, you know, he's probably the only manager of a club like Liverpool that I can think of that would have dared to do that. And it was, it was just an amazing cup final, really. The circumstances around it, I think, have been framed by certain people, Gary Neville included, as kind of a negative towards Chelsea. But I think it shouldn't be forgotten just how much of a positive it was from a Liverpool perspective. Obviously, we hope that Liverpool can go on and do more this season and win more trophies. But, I mean, yeah, you wouldn't bet against it. And I think even beyond Jurgen Klopp, as we're going to come to, there's clearly a squad there which is set up now to go on and win more stuff in the future. And as we've written about, it's an amazing cup final to reflect on. But it's also, I think, a message really of that. It's a big opportunity for Liverpool this season, but certainly beyond that as well. Even without Jurgen Klopp, it's not like this squad is suddenly not going to be there anymore, or it's the end of an era. It very much feels like the end of one, obviously, but also the start of another.
Yeah, it feels almost perfect in a way, doesn't it, that Klopp has stuck around for the beginning of Liverpool 2.0. You feel like if he'd left a little bit before some of these players had really kind of established themselves, we would be going into the new season with even more uncertainty. But to have this kind of almost handover year, if you like, even though we don't know who he's going to be handing over to just yet, but where he's been even more committed than usual to kind of blooding this young talent, and really sort of, it feels like he's very much aware of what he's leaving behind, which is what we're going to be talking about today. And I think you're right as well to say, I don't know if I'd say bizarre necessarily, but certainly kind of unique in terms of what happened with the kids that came on, and then, like you say, sort of being in with Liverpool fans, I have to talk about that kind of LA, LA, LA in extra time. That it's not something really I'd experienced before in English football. It almost felt more akin to kind of what you feel like at European games, where it just, there's no relation to what's happening on the pitch almost. It's just sustained noise for, you know, a good stretch. It went on for a good 5 minutes, and it was just that sort of symbiotic relationship with the players and the fans. It felt like the fans needed a lift. It felt like the fans knew the players would need a lift. And you could see sort of the difference it made, sort of from the kind of the end of normal time to that part of extra time was huge. And that's credit to Klopp, of course, because I've seen a lot of people say, I don't think many managers would have turned to the kids in the way he did, but my goodness, did they rise to the occasion. I mean, we'll talk about them all individually, but we'll start with the one he started with, I suppose, Conor Bradley. So it wasn't one of the late substitutes, but another big call really to start with him, wasn't it, when Robertson and Gomez were both available?
Yeah, it was definitely a decision. I know a lot of people would have looked at the Chelsea game from a few weeks ago and, what was it, a goal and two assists in that one, I think I'm right in saying. It was, you know, a pretty good audition for him in terms of that. But I think it was still a bold call. He's obviously been out of the team for a couple of different reasons, and he's then come back in and carried on where he left off, really. But I think the fact that it was such a big occasion, I think we'd probably be talking about this actually as being a big call if it wasn't for some of the younger ones and the even more inexperienced players who came afterwards. It almost feels, like him and Gerald Quansah are veterans of this team, really, because, you know, they've played, I don't know, maybe 20 games for Liverpool or something like that. It's still, I think, a big call to have put him in. The easier decision, and maybe even the decision that I might have made, to be honest, is to put Joe Gomez in, because Gomez has been so good. It's not like he hasn't had a good season. He's been in the best form that we've seen him for a long time, playing on both sides of the pitch as well. So there was no wrong way to go with it. But I think, you know, Conor Bradley is somebody that has genuinely opened up that conversation at right back. Obviously, Trent is number one, but I think I'm now more open to a conversation about him maybe playing in midfield than I ever have been, because they've got that genuine option to come in and play full back. So, yeah, another amazing story, really, in terms of the performance that he put in. He's played at Wembley before. He played there for Bolton and won. So it wasn't his first occasion. But still, to be that age, to be 20 years of age. I mean, even Harvey Elliott's only 20, isn't he? You know, even someone like that comes into this. Obviously, he's played a lot more football. But it was a really, really good performance from him. And obviously, not really in his best position. Obviously, the starting position was right back. That quickly changed. And he ends up playing on the right wing, where I think he did pretty well. Again, another sort of makeshift element of the Liverpool team. But I think there's almost an understanding with a number of these players that they can play, you know, so many different positions. They've played within this system. They know that the way that Liverpool play all the way through the youth teams, it's not like a complete shock to Conor Bradley what he has to do in that position. Obviously, he's not going to play it in the same way that Salah would, or even the same way that Harvey Elliott might have done on the right-hand side. But it's still, you know, a tricky one to be thrown in against Chelsea. You know, you've got to give a mention to the little squaring up with Ben Chilwell. I think all of these little things, all of these little elements, they just paint a picture, really, of a team which, no matter the age or the experience, they're all completely confident and assured, and they know exactly the job that they need to do. And I think that's the big thing that Liverpool need to keep with. You know, when Jurgen Klopp leaves, they've obviously had now a period where, all the way through the academy teams, all the way up to the first team, they know exactly how they want to play. There's that continuity all the way through the age groups. I think that's something that Liverpool need to continue doing, because I think we saw in this game, you know, just the benefits of that. You can just throw players in and, okay, it's still a big occasion, it's still a big ask, but they still do know exactly what they should be doing, where they should be, and where each of those other players around them are going to be as well, which I think can't really be underestimated in terms of the sort of cohesion, especially, of course, when you compare it to Chelsea, who've spent all that money, got all of those young talents as well, but just look a complete mess. When you look at Liverpool, it just looks like all of those bits have been managed to sort of come together, and they are, you know, a real, genuine, proper team.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
The average age discussion has been a bit farcical, really, hasn't it? When you sort of compare, okay, Chelsea have youngsters on the pitch, but they're youngsters who they've paid sort of 50, 60, 70 million pounds for, and Liverpool are bringing on, you know, Jadon Downs with one appearance to his name, and McConnell and Bradley and all of these players. It's apples and oranges, really. So I think it's very disingenuous to sort of be comparing the average ages and then drawing some sort of comparison. It was funny with Bradley. I think after the game he referred to how the young lads had got on talking about the late subs, which it was a funny moment, but I also thought it was a good moment. I really liked it, because I think it sort of is testament to his mindset now and how he does kind of view himself as a part of the first team. I mean, he's under no illusions, of course, that Trent Alexander-Arnold is a hard player to displace when he comes back, but yeah, it's a great mentality. And I think, like you say, it is testament to how the players know that the pathway is there. And that's credit to, to the system. You know, Klopp takes credit for it. He's always been willing to give young players a chance. Vita Matos is worth mentioning. He's leaving as well. And I think he'll also probably be a big miss as the sort of pathways manager, like that kind of link between the academy and the first team. It's very important who comes in next, that link isn't lost. And yeah, like you said, we saw it in sort of full force, if you like, in the final, that kind of that way of playing as well, that the Klopp way of playing has been ingrained at all levels. So if we come to Dan's next, for example, I think, you know, he was able to bring on this kind of ready-made Klopp striker, if you like, because he's just been steeped in that way of playing all the way through the age groups. And yeah, he didn't look out of place at all, did he?
No, and I mean, he's obviously an extreme example in terms of this. He only made his under-21s debut in December, so he's been an under-18s regular up until that point. He's only been in first-team training for a few weeks, but I know Jurgen Klopp said as soon as he stepped up, he could just see, you know, how good a player he was. And I think it's just a testament, really, to the sort of similarities, really, between the way that these players play for the youth teams, and then they can step up and do that. Again, it's a confidence thing, isn't it, really? I mean, we've seen Jadon Dams was taking the ball on the half turn. He was dribbling, he was running at people, he was beating people in the box and getting shots away. He wasn't the only one, as we'll come to. There was others who were doing that as well, but it would have been easy for him to just sort of do a different job to what he would normally do. It would have been easy to sort of stand up there, try and be a target man, give the ball to other players who are maybe slightly more senior, but obviously didn't do that, took on that responsibility, played his usual game. He's scored 21 times this season. He knows where the back of the net is. And I think he's just a real talent. I saw John Barnes has been speaking about him. And I know he will know some of the coaches, and I think he knows his dad and things like that. And he said, you know, there's been comparisons to Roberto Firmino, which might be a little bit over the top at this point. You know, we don't want to put ridiculous pressure on him, but obviously John Barnes has gone there and said that. But I mean, it's just another example, really, of a player that a lot of people, I know Gary Neville was on commentary. He said after the game he'd never heard of some of these players. I think Jadon Dams might have been one that he was referring to. I'm sure there was lots of people in the Liverpool end who certainly hadn't heard of these players. But, you know, as soon as they step up, you can tell that they're ready. And as much as it was a bold call from Jurgen Klopp to go for that and take off Cody Gakpo and Alexis McAllister as well, it wasn't like you were replacing youth with youth. It was taking off that experience to bring these players on. I think he wouldn't have done that if he didn't think that they were ready. And I think that says a lot, really, about Jadon Dams and all of these players. They weren't being thrown on, you know, out of desperation or necessity. It was because they felt that they were ready and able to step up. And, you know, quite clearly, in the few weeks that Jadon has been in first-team training for Liverpool, he's obviously put in, you know, quite the impression.
Yeah, that was the thing. I don't think anyone really thought when the changes were made that it was Klopp sort of throwing in the towel and saying, right, well, we'll save some players for Wednesday or what have you. It genuinely seemed like, given the bench he had, he felt like these changes were the best thing at that moment in time to try and go on and win the game. And yeah, it's testament to the young players, but testament to the manager as well. I don't think we can sort of say that enough. I really don't think another manager would have done similar. I mean, you look at maybe Pep Guardiola, he sometimes goes to his sort of favoured youngsters. I mean, Oscar Bob had his moment earlier in the league, didn't he, with that late winner. But it's rare, it's very rare at the top level to see a manager at such a pivotal time in a game like this just turn to the academy lads. Like you say, someone who's been with the under-18s until so recently and say, right, go on, show us what you can do and go and win this game for us. And paid off handsomely. But yeah, it certainly couldn't have happened if the youngsters in question were not supremely talented. We've talked about Dan's, and let's go from one sort of son of a former Premier League player to another. Bobby Clark, I thought he was exceptional, maybe even the pick of the bunch in terms of the young players who came on. I thought he was just superb in possession, out of possession, just a phenomenal performance beyond his years, wasn't it?
Yeah, he is a standout for sure. I think we've seen that for the under-21s for the last year or so. He's clearly a level above. I think it was a goal against Chelsea a few months ago where he beats a couple of players, and he almost replicated that when he wins the corner that the goal eventually comes from. He sort of drops that shoulder, tries to bend one, and it gets blocked on this occasion. But he's, another one really that just takes on that responsibility. There's, you know, obviously less experienced players around him somehow, but also a lot of more senior players as well. And, you know, he was one really that took the ball under pressure. He was taking the ball off the centre-backs. He was dribbling past people. He was doing step-overs at certain points. And, you know, I've watched the highlights back, and I think it's Peter Drury on commentary in the UK. And you can hear the sort of the surprise, really, at just how at ease these players are. The touch on it. I love that move that he's got. I think every good player has a kind of typical thing that you can imagine them doing. And I think with Bobby Clark, it's almost a bit like a Ryan Gravenberch type thing. We've seen him do it where he takes the ball on that back foot where he's already on the half turn and he's able to kind of drift past players like that. It's almost a bit Adam Lallana like, I think, in some ways, in terms of that midfield. He's very, very intelligent, really, really technically gifted, knows exactly where he should be. And there was, you know, a lot of interest in him in the January window. Obviously, Liverpool decided they couldn't afford to let him go out and get that experience. And you know, how important has that decision proven to be? He could have quite easily gone to, you know, a top-end championship or maybe even a lower-end Premier League team. But I can see him making a lot of appearances between now and the end of the season. It won't necessarily be starts. I'm pretty sure he will start on Wednesday against Southampton. But, you know, he could quite easily be coming off the bench for Liverpool in the next few weeks for, you know, Premier League games, for the Europa League coming up. There's going to be loads of opportunities for him because I think he's one of those that is probably very close to a Kwanzaa and Bradley level of, you know, being able to come in and make an impact now. I think Jadon Dans and, you know, James McConnell, that those kind of players are maybe a little bit less experienced and a little bit, you know, still needing a little bit more development as good as they were. For me, Bobby Clark looks like he's nailed on to become, you know, a squad option for the rest of this season and beyond for Liverpool. He was so, so impressive. And that's what we see from him when you watch him at the academy. That's the exact performance that he'll put in. But obviously to go from the back pitch at Kirby to doing it at Wembley is quite a jump up. And he just did that absolutely seamlessly.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll come on to James McConnell, who you mentioned in a second. But I think as well with Clark, you mentioned sort of where he was playing and where he might get opportunities in the first team. The exciting thing is he can play in a lot of different positions, and you look at sort of the post-Klopp era that's coming up, and you can say the same about a lot of these young players. They don't have these kind of fixed roles just yet. Obviously, Klopp has the places where he prefers to use them, but what he's leaving behind is not just a hugely talented team for a successor, but a hugely moldable team as well. And you feel like someone like a Bobby Clark could be one of those who could play in a number 10 role, which Klopp hasn't really utilised. There's a few players in the squad who you could say the same about, to be fair, with Harvey Elliott, with Fabio Carvalho, if he sticks around, doesn't go out on another loan. But there's a few who sort of like those pockets, or they can play wide, they can play... I mean, Clark, I think, started as a striker. He only fairly recently since moving to Liverpool, he's sort of been moving back deeper into that midfield role. So there's options there. And I think, you know, it's going to be... There's no escaping the sort of upheaval when Klopp leaves and the sort of emotion attached to it. But it also brings with it that kind of excitement that we don't really know what's coming yet. But this kind of next generation can be used in a lot of different ways, can't they?
Yeah, I think, you know, someone like Bobby Clark, you've got to see it as an opportunity, really. I mean, obviously, he would have got that opportunity if Jurgen Klopp had stayed, but it's an opportunity to learn from somebody different. It's an opportunity, really, to make yourself a bit of a regular, really, in this Liverpool team. When you think of the amount of changes that there could be across the summer, I think it makes more sense for Liverpool to not do loads of business in the transfer market, maybe keep it broadly the same in terms of the playing staff, considering they're all going to have to get used to, you know, a different manager and a different coach and all of that sort of side of things. As you mentioned, you know, finding a replacement for Vito Matos is absolutely vital. But, you know, there's going to be so many changes in terms of the personnel of the coaching team. I think it makes a load of sense to keep this group of players together because there's no obvious weaknesses. There's no obvious holes in the team. Okay, they probably need another defender. They might need, you know, another midfielder. But for me, you've got to look at Bobby Clark and think, well, if he can put together a bit of a run between now and the end of this season, it doesn't have to be that next season he's the first name on the team sheet, or when all of these players are back from injury, he's clearly not going to play every single minute for Liverpool, but he's quite clearly at a level really where I think it makes sense for him to be in that discussion really. When the new manager comes in the summer, he can see Bobby Clark, maybe one or two of the others as real genuine options. And I think, as I say, that makes the most sense in terms of continuity. If you can keep Bobby Clark as your sort of rotation option in that midfield, I think that probably makes more sense than going out and trying to make changes in the transfer market, because Liverpool have got these players already in the building. They know how to play. They know all of their teammates. They know how all of the things work for Liverpool. I think it's probably not a bad summer if you're one of these youngsters trying to make it at Liverpool. It's not the worst time, I don't think, to come in and say, well, look, I'm already here. Whoever the new manager comes in, they're going to be less experienced in terms of what it means to be at Liverpool than Bobby Clark. Okay, Xabi Alonso's been here before, but we're not in that kind of capacity. So I think there's definitely an opportunity there for all of these guys. But, Kwanzaa, Bradley and Bobby Clark, they just look nailed on to me to be part of the team for the next few years, though.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Exciting times in that respect. And James McConnell is another one we need to mention. He was excellent. And I think what really made him stand out even more was just the contrast with the team that he was coming up against. You look at Chelsea, and it's just impossible to make that jump when you see you've got Moises Caicedo in there. Of course, after the transfer saga in the summer, you've got Enzo Fernandez. I mean, those two, the current and previous holders of the British transfer record. And yeah, I mean, it's not really an exaggeration to say they were played off the park by James McConnell, is it? I mean, obviously they had the minutes in their legs and McConnell was coming on fresh, but yeah, he had more touches than them from the time he came on. He created more chances. And yeah, I think as well, what impressed me was his decision-making. It was very sensible. He created those chances, so he wasn't doing nothing with the ball. He wasn't just shuttling it sideways, but he wasn't looking for the passes that weren't there either. And yeah, I think the feeling in the ground as that sort of normal time drew to a close was like, this has got far too chaotic now. If there's another 30 minutes that plays out in a similar way, similarly open, it's hard to see Liverpool getting this, because, it was Chelsea who was having the majority of the pressure. Liverpool had maybe lost some of that energy to even hit on the break too much. It was nervy. We needed a bit more control. And yeah, you look at McConnell on paper and you think, is this academy kid the one who can sort of reassert control of the midfield against these names of Chelsea? And it turns out he absolutely was.
Yeah, he was excellent, wasn't he? So composed and good on the ball. It's no surprise that he can pass. He's been able to do very, very similar things for Liverpool at academy level, but he's not played that much as a holding midfielder. As the deepest player, he tends to play a bit more box-to-box, a little bit further forward, almost a little bit like Tyler Morton. I thought he kind of reminded me of him a little bit, really. Very, very classy on the ball, and Liverpool have moved him back into that number six role. And maybe that was out of necessity, or out of kind of, that was the best route really into the Liverpool team. Obviously, you mentioned Caicedo, and I think Endo has been a lot better than what people maybe thought might have been the case when he came in. So maybe there was a bit of a conversation about where the obvious place would be for James McConnell to get minutes. Number six seems like the obvious place, but we shouldn't forget that he's playing, a new position almost. It's not completely different, is it, playing in the holding midfield compared to slightly further forward? He's still got the same attributes and the same skill set, but the tackles that he was putting in, the timing of those, the intelligent positions really of knowing where to be, he just seems like a bit of a natural really in that number six position. It's not something that he's done loads before, but he seems to be able to do that really nicely. So yeah, another option. He's probably another one that we'll see a lot of against Southampton, but it's getting to the point really where you think how many young players can you throw in against Southampton, and it won't look completely like an academy team. But I think he's one. If your midfield was McConnell, Clark, and one more, Alexis McAllister maybe, or whoever it might be, I think that should be more than enough to get the better of a team, which probably is going to rotate as well. I know Southampton's biggest priority this season isn't the FA Cup. So it's a massive opportunity for Liverpool. We don't quite know what the team is going to look like. We'll obviously hear an injury update in a couple of hours from Jurgen Klopp in his press conference. But I think James McConnell is another one, really, that's got to be looking at this situation and thinking there's a real opportunity for him. We've seen him now impress at Anfield and at Wembley. It's obviously, you know, a challenge to do that consistently for Liverpool at senior level over the next few months. But I think he's one that we'll see a lot more of as well, particularly at the moment when you've got so many injury concerns. But I think he's definitely got talent and an ability level to make a real impact. He surprised me with how good he's been. Bobby Clark, it was less of a surprise. I think we knew really how good he could be and how high his ceiling was from when he came in from Newcastle about, what was it, 2.5 years ago, something like that. He's come in with a huge reputation. I think James McConnell has been at Liverpool a little bit longer. He slowly started to make a bit more of a name for himself. But yeah, he was so, so good and so composed and calm. And yeah, if you can get the better of Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez, then you can definitely do it against most of the Premier League teams. So yeah, definitely a big opportunity, I think, for him over the next few months.
Yeah, I think you're right about Southampton. He seems like a bit of a shoe-in there. There was a tweet, wasn't there? I don't know if you saw it, with a picture of Virgil van Dijk running out with the mascots saying, like, this will be the team for Southampton. I think the least accurate part about that was van Dijk. I'm pretty sure he won't be playing against Southampton. But yeah, it'll definitely be a young-looking side. But, I mean, who's gonna count them out after seeing what the youngsters could do against Chelsea, you know? I mean, it was... Yeah, it's truly, truly exciting times. And just before we finish, there's a few youngsters to mention who are in, sort of, you know, on the scene a little bit, but didn't feature here. You mentioned Tyler Morton out on loan. He's doing well. He's doing very well. So you wonder what happens when he sort of comes back. It kind of slots into a similar category to someone like a McConnell, and still not old either. He's actually, I think, a month or two younger than Fabio Carvalho, who certainly no one's writing off yet, both at Hull at the minute. So that'll be an interesting one. You talk about the number six role and whether maybe that's one where there's still half a thought that there could be a transfer there. But alongside McConnell, alongside Morton, you look at Stefan Bajcetic, who was such a kind of revelation last year. He was, you know, joining the celebrations at Wembley, which was nice. I think he was in that picture which Trent posted with the homegrown caption. And yeah, I mean, he ousted Fabinho last season, obviously a sort of below his best Fabinho, but he came into the team and was just incredible. I think Salah said he'd been the best player in the team since he came in to the moment he got injured. So praise doesn't get much higher than that. So yeah, I mean, it's not just the Wembley youngsters, is it?
Yeah, and a couple that were on the bench as well. I mean, Trey Naione has only not long come in. I think he was signed in the summer. Really, really highly rated, really good footballer, you know, a regular for Liverpool at youth level, well above his years. I think he's still only 16. It would have been a surprise for him to have come on, I think, because of his age. He's probably one that you'd see probably more off the bench midweek against Southampton than maybe starting, just because he is so inexperienced. But I mean, let's not write anything off after the weekend. You can maybe not quite predict exactly what Jurgen Klopp's thinking. But, you know, Lewis Kumas as well, he was on the bench. I don't think Cade Gordon was on the bench at all, which was a little bit of a surprise. I don't know whether there's maybe a little bit of an injury issue with him, but he's another one that, you know, is so talented and clearly is ready to be there. And Ben Doak as well is out at the moment with a knee injury. So, I mean, between all of these academy players, we've probably got most of a team. It might be slightly top heavy, probably lacking a little bit more in the defensive areas and the goalkeeper. But you know, there's so many players there on that list. We've got into double figures there of players that you think have got a genuine chance at Liverpool moving forwards. All of those players, you know, Bobby Clark probably is nailed on, in my opinion, to go on and make a lot of appearances for Liverpool. But you know, all the way through the last sort of half an hour or so that we've been talking through these players, there's clearly, you know, a huge amount of talent for Liverpool to dip into. And you know, not all of them will go on and make 100 appearances for Liverpool, but you know, at the very least, you'd look at, you know, a Premier League career for lots of these players. They've clearly shown a level above where you'd expect anybody to be. And it does really feel like at the moment Liverpool have got that perfect conveyor belt of talent coming through. As soon as, you know, one person, you know, comes in, you know, Bradley and Nkwanza at one end of the conveyor belt, Naione at the other, plenty more in between. it just really feels at the moment like they've got into a really good rhythm and they're getting chances crucially as well. So, yeah, really, really exciting times. And I think, you know, Jurgen Klopp said afterwards that this was the most special trophy that he's ever won. I can understand why he said that. And I think that's definitely, you know, a good case for that being true. But it just makes you more excited, I think, for what comes next. And, you know, in terms of a pitch to a new manager, who wouldn't want to come in and take this group of players forward? And, you know, you could see the celebrations at the end, the fact that you mentioned, you know, the picture with Trent on, there must have been, you know, 10 players on there. Trent looked like the dad or the coach of all of those players. You know, you can sort of imagine him still being at their age and what he's done for Liverpool. Yeah, it's just so exciting, I think, to see how many of them there are, because, you know, there's always going to be a percentage of players that are highly rated that don't quite make it, or they end up having to go somewhere else. You think like a Harry Wilson or someone like that. But just the sheer volume of these players, we're talking about 10 or 15 talents who've got a genuine chance. I think a couple of them could be really special.
Yeah, it's hard not to feel like we were looking at part of Klopp's legacy there. I mean, his legacy is safe regardless of what happens once he moves on. You know, in his own right, he's won so much. He's brought so much joy to so many. That was inescapable at Wembley, that sense of just you look around and you think, look, you've made all of these people this happy. It's just, I mean, you can't imagine what it would be like to be in his shoes. But it does also feel like the next generation that he's brought through is going to be, it's going to, you know, in hindsight, you look back on the Klopp era with even more sort of awe, if you like. I mean, I think on the last podcast I was on, I made the point that it's hard to resist that kind of Shankly-Paisley sort of comparison, in the sense that it was Paisley who had the most trophies, you know, the most decorated manager in Liverpool history. But you look at Bill Shankly as perhaps the biggest ever figure in the club's history because of how he paved the way for that. And yeah, I mean, you don't want to sort of burden the next manager with the kind of pressure of not only following Klopp, but, you know, being that Bob Paisley figure. But, you know, given what Klopp leaves behind, you wouldn't rule it out. That in itself kind of says it all of what he's leaving behind and what a special job he's done at Liverpool. I don't think we'll find a better point to end it on than that. So we'll leave it there. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks to everyone who's been following along in the comments as well. We'll be bringing you plenty more content over on Liverpool.com throughout the day. We'll have some more stuff on the final. We'll be looking ahead to Southampton as well, so make sure to check that out. Meanwhile, there'll be more content on the Blood Red channel, so tune in there as well. But for now, thanks very much for watching, and we'll see you again soon.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.